Welcome to Trigger Talk Radio with your host, Dick Kupke. From handguns to rifles and hunting to self-defense, even a bit of politics. It's time to exercise your First and Second Amendment rights. Call and join the conversation, 734-822-1600. And now, your host, Dick Kupke.
Well, good morning and welcome back to Trigger Talk. Here it is on May 8th, okay? And we do have some new numbers today, finally. So we'll dive into them a little bit on CPLs. It's a beautiful day today, although it's chilly. But we're back in March again, apparently. But at least it's sunny after a couple of days of gloomy rain and stuff. And let's see if we want. Do not forget that tomorrow is Mother's Day. Okay. So, by the way, I have seen, Ann Arbor Arms is running a Mother's Day special. Bring Mom out to the range, you know. Well, I got to say that I do want to thank the Michigan and Ohio gun show people, because there are no gun shows in Michigan and no gun shows in Ohio. They're trying to keep us from getting in trouble, okay? Honey, I'm going to go to the gun show this weekend. Mother's Day? Oh, geez, I forgot all about it. No. So, yeah, they definitely are protecting our backs there. Missouri apparently doesn't care. They have one. They've got the Warsaw Gun Show in Warsaw, Missouri. And even New York has one for Mike out in Long Island, who is, this is the Newburgh, New York Gun Show. I don't even know how close that is to Long Island. Maybe Mike can call and tell us. So, but they apparently, after all these months of being shut down, they're going to go ahead and bang right through and have one on Mother's Day. So, let's see. By the way, though, I am noticing that the Warsaw Gun Show in Missouri is only yesterday and today. So at least they they thought about Mother's Day and didn't plan it for tomorrow. Now, we do have some new numbers. Last week it was May 1st on the day of the show, but they had not posted any numbers yet. So there's some interesting things. We're up to 743,598, which is an increase of about 12,000. Okay, that's pretty good. And there is, it's down about 800 or so on the pending, down to 10,094. So that's still way too high. It ought to be down in the 1,500 range or so. It's ridiculous, the delay. But what I thought was interesting in the numbers, it's within 20 of the, there are 743,598 approved and 743,572 expired. So we're at a point right now, and this is since the modern reporting, apparently. We are at a total, though, of 1.5 million people that have had their CPL licenses, okay? And half of them are approved, and half of them are expired right now. Now, there's a part of the ones that aren't approved are ones like disqualified, revoked, suspended. Those are all lesser numbers, small numbers. But the point is that there's about half. And even though we are up, our expireds are up 12,000, we still gained 12,000 over last month. So I want to say there is some good throughput here, but we're still, I don't know why people, maybe they're expiring and people are afraid to go out and renew. Maybe they're having a hard time. Like, I do know that some of the people that have called into us and talked about that their kids have had to wait like a year to get an appointment with Wayne County and stuff. Maybe those are lightening up a little bit, but still people are afraid to go out and get renewals. So And remember, you can renew online, and you can, and I want to say maybe some of those are, you know, older folks who are either just letting it expire, or maybe they don't do online renewals. So they're a little bit leery about going out. So I would like to know a little deeper into those numbers, okay? Let's see, I got a message, an email this week from listener Lad, and he said that, hi, thanks. There are a couple of places. That was my response. His point was that he was looking for places to get CPLs. Okay, where can I get some CPL training? And in particular, and I didn't notice this to be true, but I kind of looked at it. It appears he says the firing line only offers them on Sunday, and I go to church on Sunday, so that doesn't work for me. Because when it comes to God and guns, God wins. Okay, so he explained that to me, and he said, by the way, he also said he's a Ford worker, and he's on layoff because of that chip shortage, which is a shame because there's an awful lot of people on it. But he's trying to find and take an opportunity during the week. So he said, where are some places that offer them not on Sunday? Okay, so I looked around, and Ann Arbor Arms has classes on Saturday. Tri-County Sportsman's League has classes on Saturday. Now, they're actually, their next one's May 29th, but Ann Arbor Arms, they're actually booked up through July 10th. They say no offerings, no openings. So what happens is some of these places, even though they offer them on other days, they're booked up solid. T-Rex Arms in Belleville, they offer Saturday and Sunday. And then there's that one out in New Hudson, Huron Valley Guns. And now this is good. They do offer a Tuesday class. So they also alternate it with Tuesday. All of them offer like ladies only classes too. And sometimes those give you some flexibility in scheduling. I don't know, Lad, if it's just you wanting to get your CPL, or if it's you and your wife, you might have to split up, and maybe she could do it one Tuesday and you could do it another one. But at any rate, so that has been an issue where people have been struggling to find places to get training. And then even if they find a place that they can get training, they're having a heck of a time with ammunition. I had to lend my neighbor some ammo when he took his class. And so, matter of fact, yesterday I went and got a haircut, Bill's Barbershop in Saline. It's a good place. And it's interesting. Now, I don't know why this is true. I don't know if this is I select places that only gun people hang out, or if everybody's a gun person. Because I mentioned last week I was down at my folks, and we had four people show up, and all of a sudden we're all talking guns and pulling out our carry guns and everything. Well, same thing happens when I'm at Bill's Barbershop yesterday, and he was actually showing me some video that he took of a friend that had some full auto stuff, which was kind of cool. And he said, can you believe that? Just listen to that. And the guy was just, you know, banging out magazines full of 9mm or 45 or 5.56. And the thing is that the ammunition is so tough to find. Matter of fact, my son sent me a meme. I'm going to have to post this one. It says something like it's now that the greatest show of wealth. I'll look it up at the break, but it essentially says, you know, the greatest show of wealth these days is somebody indiscriminately using a box of ammo at a cardboard target. Because, gosh, they're worth a dollar a round or a dollar and a half a round now, even for 9mm. So it's pretty interesting. Let's see. Some stories we've got. And there's a lot more in the way of politics than there is about gun stuff. There is just not a lot of interesting stuff going on about guns. We can talk about ammunition shortages. We can talk about the amount of time it takes to get a CPL or try to find classes and things like that. But there isn't a whole lot of new stuff coming out right now. And some of the stuff I see tends to be, you know, like, oh, here's a great ATN thermo sight, you know, scope available. Yeah, but they're like $3,000, and people, we don't have that kind of money to spend, okay? I'm more of a everyday kind of guy. I like my inexpensive guns. I like handguns that are good, dependable handguns, not a $3,000 Wilson Combat. I might like those, okay? But I'm not going to go out and buy one of those when I can have a 1911 that I can spend $1,000 on, or I can spend $500 on from like, or $600, a Ruger, you know, one of the Rugers or Remington R1s or something like that. That I'm more of an everyday gun kind of guy. And I enjoy, actually, I've got a couple stories on guns today, just about, you know, this old gun, something that somebody got, and also 22s. When it comes to 22, I'm a sucker for 22s. If I find a 22 that's reasonably priced, I'm a sucker for it. I usually can figure out a way to squeeze $100 22 into the budget. So anyway, gun control debate continues over CPL holders in Lansing. What? Again? What is it? That Michigan Capitol Commission just said, you know, no open carry. Now what's going on? Well, somebody was carrying openly into the Capitol this past week or so, and he actually has a CPL hold, is a CPL holder, and they are allowed to carry a gun openly. Okay, remember that's that little funny glitch there that says if you have a CPL, you can openly carry in things like schools and stuff like that. It's kind of a glitch in the way they wrote things. But the point is that if you're going to carry concealed, which is still allowed in the Michigan Capitol, okay, then carry concealed. Don't use a little glitch in the loophole, as they say, to cause a bunch of people to go nuts about it. And what happens is, you get these guys immediately jumping on, oh, we're not safe. We're not safe. There's militia members protesting inside the Capitol because this guy's got an open carry gun. We're not safe. Our kids are returning and school groups are here. And as long as there's any weapons, we're not safe. You know what? Actually, when you have somebody in the Capitol that is a CPL holder and is carrying, you're probably more safe, okay? And by the way, a CPL holder typically is a person that will carry concealed because they want to keep a tactical advantage. They're not trying to make a political point like somebody who decides to open carry in the Capitol. So what happens? Now they're taking it back and they're all starting to complain again and they're going to review it. They're going to go back and say, you know, now it says that CPL holders are allowed at this point, okay? But this Darren, Representative Darren Camilleri said, our state police protected us that day, but it was clear we didn't have enough security to take on the threat and protect us. My fear is that lives are lost. You know, never waste an opportunity, they say. And every time somebody open carries into the Capitol or open carries, matter of fact, we'll talk about it, somebody doing a Second Amendment audit or pop, I'll read it in a minute, but over on the western side of the state, you're not helping, okay? Remember that. So let's see. This is the next one, okay? A Michigan man scares the pants off untold numbers of people while conducting an idiotic Second Amendment audit. Okay, now this is over in western Michigan. It is a town called Homer. I don't know where that is. It's in, and the Calhoun County deputy sheriffs were called because a man was walking through a neighborhood, and he was seen walking with an AR-15 and two pistols. Oh, heaven forbid. And one of the schools in town had to go on lockdown. Why? He was legally carrying openly. You don't need to go into lockdown for that to get what? In some you know, half a mile away across the city, the somebody's open carrying, so you're going to put a school in lockdown and scare the pants off the teachers and the kids. So he was walking through neighborhoods in Homer on May 3rd, so it was just this week, conducting what he called a Second Amendment audit. And some neighbors said they didn't like what the man did, but deputies said he was within his legal rights to do it. Okay, just because you can do something doesn't mean you should, okay? The man was several blocks from the Homer Community Schools, which placed itself on lockdown as a precaution. Employees working at Dairy Delight in Homer said the man was open carrying when he ordered food. Can you believe the nerve of that man? And then he sat down in the restaurant's outdoor seating area. The man broke no laws, but I do, and this is the author writing, I vehemently oppose any efforts to make his actions illegal. That's true. However, I do think this is the same thing I've been saying for years. Carrying an AR-15 into Target to buy toilet paper is stupid. You're not making a point. You're not winning over, oh, we just want to convince people that it's, see, we're safe carrying around our big, nasty assault weapons. You know, I want to say it would have the same effect as if you're carrying a Winchester Model 70 or a Remington 700 or something like that. You're scaring people who aren't sure what your intentions are. And you know what? I have been in stores before and had somebody walk in, and this was at Cabela's. Somebody was walking in at Cabela's, and he was carrying a Beretta 92FS on his belt in a holster. And I gave the guy a second look and looked to see, okay, he looked like a vet and looks clean cut and okay, you know. And so I, if there's anybody who's open-minded about this stuff, about guns in general, it's me. But I was concerned about it. Well, he wasn't winning over my hearts and minds. He was making me leery of him. And I guess that's the same thing. Now, by the way, what happens is that because of all this stuff going on, and this was in the national media, Ann Arbor City Council backs local gun control. Oh, yeah. Now the city council unanimously okayed a resolution this week in support of Senate Bill 352, which would allow cities, townships, and counties to prohibit firearms in their municipal buildings. Well, once again, something, and it talks, they go back to when the militia came to the state capitol, it scared everybody, so we have to prohibit guns in our buildings. And it's, they actually went along and they said, you know, there was an unfortunate incident a few years ago in Virginia Beach where a municipal employee, some of them were killed when somebody entered the building with a firearm. And that's a real problem and real dangers faced municipal employees. Well, first of all, the guy was an employee and prohibited from carrying it in the first place because his terms of employment said he couldn't carry it. And it was, if it's against the law for him to carry it, then why would a law stop somebody who's intending to do harm, stop them from carrying it? You know, I want to say, even in Ann Arbor, okay, which hasn't had a problem like Virginia Beach did a couple years ago. Yeah, gosh, out of a country of 340 million people, we had an incident in Virginia Beach where a municipal employee went into a municipal building. I don't even know all the details of it. I'm not going to say the man's name or anything, but some of those things have personal reasons that people are doing these things. And by the way, even if you want to put guards and metal detectors in a municipal building, the first thing that's going to happen is that's who they're going to shoot first. You walk in a building, and I know, I remember I was involved in a shooting out at Wixom Assembly Plant, the Ford Wixom Assembly Plant. And by the way, the first thing the guy did was confront the guys at the guard shack and shoot up the guard shack. Okay, why? Because they were trying to prohibit him from coming in. which he shouldn't have been doing with a firearm. And he had just been shooting at the, and he shot and killed Daryl Izzard, who was the plant facilities manager. And so it's against the law. It's against the law to shoot somebody. It's against the law to come into these certain things, and it's not going to stop them, okay? Oh, let's see. Rasmussen did a poll, and about a third of gun owners bought more firearms in the last 12 months. Yeah, okay, about a third of them did, and that's true. However, that means two-thirds of them were essentially first-time buyers, huh? Wow, that's pretty amazing. Yeah, because they sold 21 or 27 million guns. I don't know if these numbers line up. I think that might be right because when they say a third of the gun owners bought more, they're saying that a third probably bought another one or another two or another six or something like that, okay? A third of the gun owners bought more firearms in the last year. It says that overall, 39% of Americans say they live in gun-owning households. 45% say no one in their household owns guns. And 16% are not sure. What? Not sure? Well, they're probably not sure whether they should tell anybody or not. I can tell you this, that even 39% say they live in gun-owning households is questionable because I want to say somebody calls up to me and goes, hey, we're doing a poll. Do you have any guns in your house? No. What business of it is yours? Or I'm not sure. I don't know if I have any guns in my house. Oh, the FBI reports there were nearly 40 million background checks for firearms purchases last year, an increase of almost 11 million from 2019. So it's continued to to grow with the number of gun owners and stuff. And also blacks in gun-owning households are 40% more likely than whites to say that their household has bought a new gun in the past year. 45% are more likely than 35% of other minorities. So at any rate, I think that's fine. We're going to do a story in a bit about Asians. But the fact is that I don't care what color you are. Matter of fact, the whole gun owning, the African-American gun ownership, the Asian gun ownership, the gay gun ownership, the Asian gun ownership, any of it, I don't care. And I think it's actually good because if there are more black gun owners, then they'll be concerned about their rights. And they'll see, hey, what are these guys trying to take away my gun rights? Who are all these guys? Oh, these are all the Democrats trying to take away my gun rights. So let's see. And we've only got another minute or so, but DOG published... The Department of Justice published proposed ghost gun rules outlawing unserialized 80% lowers and modernizing a receiver definition. Uh-oh. Okay, this is old Joe challenging the ATF and the DOJ to do something. So here they are, and they're talking about, we got to have guns. They can't have these ghost guns out there, despite the fact that there are almost none of them have any crimes or used in any shootings, okay? But, oh, man, sounds so scary. We got to say that. And then they're talking about kits. You cannot sell a kit that's not serialized if it has all the parts you need in it to build it. Because Joe said it only takes, half an hour to do it. Are you kidding me? You have to drill and machine and do all sorts of stuff to make it work. Okay? And by the way, you have to have hundreds of dollars of tools to do it. Okay? Oh, gosh. Now I'm getting riled up. I shouldn't get riled up. But let's see. Mainstream media pledges to devote more resources to covering gun violence. What? More than they already are? More than what they already make up? More than what if it bleeds, it leads? Of course, they don't cover the good kind of gun stuff where people are using them for self-defense. We'll talk about that more when we get back. This is Dick Kupke at Trigger Talk Radio at Wham Talk 1600. I'll be back in a minute.
Wham Talk 1600. Welcome back to Trigger Talk Radio with your host, Dick Kupke. Call now, 734-822-1600 to join in the conversation.
And we're back. And let's see, I was going to talk about Indiana changing their red flag laws, but let's talk to Phil from Detroit first about ghost guns and ammo prices. Hi, Phil.
Good morning. Yeah, I've been hitting the gun show when I can, and 22, they're going for like $60 a brick.
Yeah, I know.
Not as bad as it could be, I guess, but yeah, it's about what they're going for. And everybody's talking about these ghost guns.
Yep.
Yeah, and what I think we ought to be calling them is undocumented firearms.
Good
because
idea,
that's the only difference between them and anything else is they don't have serial numbers on, so undocumented.
I like that. And you know, since this administration loves undocumented things, they should be embracing them, right?
You betcha.
Oh, that is funny. I like. And you know, I remember seeing there's a meme that there was there's a church that has one of these signs out on it. And they always put up these smart aleck things, and it said, "I like my guns like." This was back a few years ago when Obama was still president. Actually, 5 or 6 years ago, and it says, "I like my guns like Obama likes his immigrants, undocumented." So now we can say Biden, right? So.
You got it.
Oh, very good. Very good. And, you know, the gun price, the ammo prices are kind of ridiculous. You could still get ammo, and I keep getting flyers in the mail, email flyers, you know, from places that, oh, we have 9mm and we have this and that. And it's all pretty darn expensive. It's $1 a round or so. You know what I mean? So
I'm told you can beat that price by a lot. They're not that unreasonable if you can get like Dunn's or Cabela's or whatever. When the shipments come in, and you know, they'll have halfway reasonable prices, except by the time the average Joe gets there, they're all sold out.
Yeah, I don't know. Do you remember a few years ago, Cabela's was doing a bit where they gave people numbers that were waiting in line? Are they still doing that? Have you been down there?
I've been through that before. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you hope they don't run out by the time your number's up.
Well, yeah. Of course, they limit the amount.
Everybody brings in their wife and their kids and everybody else. Everybody stands in line and gets their quota.
Yep. Yep. I heard, I was listening to a show and where a guy was in, and he went in a hardware store and they had a quota, but they were selling like 9mm for like $15 a box, which is unheard of low right now. And he bought what he could, but then he thought, geez, my wife's out in the car. I should have had her come in and, you know, buy her quota on it too. So.
And they do that. They take the whole family there and get all they can. And then the guy will show up at the next gun show scalping them.
Oh, I know. I know. And that's one of the things.
I know people that do that. You probably do, too.
I hate going to a gun show nowadays where the guys are, I mean, I want to say they're selling like a beat-up old Ruger 10/22 for $300 or so. I mean, it's ridiculous. You know, they think that they've got gold. I was at the gun show and I was trying to get some projectiles for 7mm Remington Mag. Okay. And the guy had a partial, 284, you know, 0.284. Uh-huh. And, I was just looking for some. I've got a bunch now, so I'm all set now, but
me too.
But
I'm not going elk hunting anymore, and I've got a whole stockpile of 7 rem mags.
I know. I actually have probably enough components now to make 500 rounds of 7mm Remington mag.
I've got that too. I've got bullets and powder and primers and cases.
Well, yeah. I've got bullets. I've got brass. I've got primers. I don't have the right powder. And that's my problem right now.
IMR 4350, as I recall.
Yeah, IMR 4350. Actually, I worked up an outstanding recipe for it with accurate 4350. Because that's all I could find was accurate 4350. And I could not find a recipe for the accurate 4350. So I sent a note because I was shooting Hornady. What is it called? It's their ultra low, ELDXs, the extremely low drag expanding rounds, 162 grain. Okay. And I could not find a recipe published for it, even on the accurate. You know, you go to the accurate website, it may not show the bullet that you're using. So I went to the bullet manufacturer and I wrote to Hornady, emailed them. And next day I got back and it said, it gave me a range. And it said like 52 to 58 grains of 4350. Uh-huh. And I went right in the middle and it was great. And now I've dialed it in. I've actually, I have made a ton of like 20 more rounds, varying it by one grain to dial it into the absolute most accurate range. You know, the problem is,
I bet you neck size only, don't you? You take your firearm cases and neck size only.
Well, these cases that I'm using, I believe, are from this rifle, but I'm not. I'm full size. Full sizing them because.
Right, but your fire form babies, your neck size only.
Right, right. So at any rate, but then the problem is, and I, I've got the greatest recipe set up for, and I was like a half inch at 100 yards. I mean, it was doing very well. I can dial it in closer than that probably. But the thing is that, so I've got that round. But I've only got, you know, so many of those. Now I've also got some 150 grain and 140 grain and 175 grain. So each one of those, I have to go through the exercise of figuring out what's the most accurate. That's part of the fun, though. You know what I
mean? Yeah, it is. Yep. Yeah. And then the proof is when you get that next shot on an antelope at 600 yards.
Yeah, which I want to say, and by the way, so then I'll have 500 rounds loaded up, and you use one or two. I have a lifetime supply of 7mm Remington mag. That's for sure.
Me too.
Yeah. Hey, well, thanks for the call, Phil.
Ain't that much more. I'm 74. Okay.
Well, I'm only 64, so you got 10 years on me, but I have probably 25 more rounds that I've got time to use up than you do. So
there you go. Have fun doing it.
Okay. See you later. Bye-bye.
Okay. God bless.
Yep. Okay. So an Indiana judge mandates changes in the red flag laws. Well, I want to say everybody's got concerns about red flag laws, but not so much if they're done correctly. Okay. Because the whole idea where if somebody is demonstrated that, you know, they're threatening people and stuff like that, then they should not have the access to their firearms through a process that will either remove them and then they can be, appealed and adjudicated and decide what to do. Okay. For example, the shooter at that FedEx facility in Indianapolis, a year ago, his mother called the Marion County Sheriff's Office and said that she's worried that her son was going to Marion County Sheriff's. At any rate, the Marion County prosecutor, Ryan Myers, decided not to bring it before a judge because she had called and said that and talked to the police and said her son might try to die from suicide by cop. And police came and talked to him. And apparently they felt that was true and they seized a pump action shotgun. Okay. But then the prosecutor decided not to bring it to a judge. So it never got reported. And the cops just decided to keep the gun. Well, that's two things I don't like right there. First of all, it should have been reported. And there needs to be, if the guy is a threat, then he doesn't get his gun back. Okay. But if the guy's not a threat and it was just because an ex-girlfriend called or something like that and was trying to, you know, get upset with him, then he has to have a process, due process, to be able to say, hey, I'm a good person. I don't, you know, I don't pose a threat to anybody. Or, boy, they're real quick to give pieces of paper to protect people. Like, what is that called? A restraining order. That sure does a lot of good in a lot of cases. But when they actually go and they have decided this guy is suicidal, maybe wanting to die from suicide by cop, they don't even report him. So what happens? He goes out and he buys a couple of assault-style guns. I don't know exactly what he had. But the point is that if you're going to have a law, it should have due process, and it should be utilized, just like in Chicago, where there's laws where people can't carry guns, okay? Not legal. I mean, legally they can, but if they're illegal, if you go down to, oh gosh, my friend John is a truck driver, and he delivers to Chicago all the time. He knows all the roads and streets that are the bad ones, okay? And you go down there, and you could probably stop any 10 guys on a street corner, and they'd have 10 guns on them, and they would be illegal. Use that law, okay? But they don't. They don't. Oh, let's see. Asian Americans buying guns amid a media frenzy over hate crimes. Okay, I don't know whether that's true or not. I did see a video this week of two elderly, I shouldn't say elderly because they're younger than me. They were 60. But two 60-year-old women were attacked with a concrete cinder block by a guy breaking into their liquor store. Is that an Asian crime, or is that just one that he happens to be wanting to knock off a liquor store? But the point is that ability to defend themselves could have protected these people. And then there's a bunch of people out there that are wanting to buy guns, and Asian people, that's fine. Okay. I mentioned earlier in the show, I don't care what you are. Okay. But then you get the politician, the chair, who's a woman named Poe Murray, who's the chairwoman of Newtown Action Alliance. It's a common myth that a good guy with a gun will keep us safe from a bad guy. She's going on to say that she's worried that all these Asians are going to buy guns and then they won't be safe because they have a gun in their house. And you know that people are more likely to shoot themselves than to protect themselves with it. That's what these people say. Okay, I can tell you what, when I've seen some of the demonstrations, rioting, and stuff like that in San Francisco and other California towns. And you know what? And there were people standing out, Asians, standing out in front of their restaurants and stores protecting it. And you know what? They look pretty well trained to me. You just don't want anybody to have guns, okay? Ms. Murray from Newtown Action Alliance, okay? And you know what? That's not going to work. Okay, pro-gun author. Now, I found this amusing. There's a guy, and his name is Yehuda Remmer, and he is an author, and he writes gun books. And I didn't know this. I find this, there is, people talk about shooting sometimes, and they go, pew, 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 pew. You know, like that's the sound that the gun makes, right? Pew. And this guy is a Jewish author. So Yehuda Remmer, and he's also known as, the pew, pew Jew. Okay. The guy's got a sense of humor. Okay. That's what he calls himself. Okay. Not me. I'm not making fun of him. Okay. And by the way, again, I don't care if you're Jewish, if you're Muslim, if you're Hindu, whatever you are welcome in the gun community if you're a legal, law-abiding person, okay? Well, so he has a book called 10 Little Gun Grabbers, and it's a book about Oh, a satirical look at modern Second Amendment politics, okay? Cartoons are drawn nicely. It's got all sorts of stories in it and stuff. It's supposed to be a really good book. And he announced it, and man, it was going to be, on May 2nd, he was releasing it, and it was going to be on Amazon. Uh-oh, the pew-pew Jew, Yehuda Remmer, got a note that said, "Your item was rejected." Hi, Yehuda. 10 Little Gun Grabbers Coming Soon was rejected because it doesn't comply with our commerce policy. It's a book about gun grabbers. A book about, it's not advocating guns. It's just trying to talk about the politics around it. Oh, but it's got the word gun in the title. You can't have that. Well, you can if it's anti-gun. So, but not if it's making fun of the Second Amendment restrictions that people are trying to put on it. I don't know how this one, this just happened a couple days ago, so I don't know how it's going to work out. But I tell you what, it's got me wanting to read that book, 10 Little Gun Grabbers. I'm going to see if I can find that somewhere and read it. Sounds hilarious to me. I find this to be funny, too. Illinois has never been known to be a pro-gun state, okay? They were brought kicking and screaming into the gun carry world because they had to have the Supreme Court finally say, look, this applies to everybody, even you people in Illinois. You've got to have a way for them to be able to have concealed carry. So then they did it. Then they put all their – now they have their things like their FOID cards and stuff like that. Well, Illinois – is now trying to pretend that, oh, we're gun friendly. Illinois Governor Pritzker has a view where suddenly he's not in favor of a vaccine passport, but you know what? They're offering, if you go to Worldwide Shooting and Recreation Complex in Sparta and get a vaccination, they'll give you 100 free targets, meaning, 100, that would be, four rounds of clay shooting for free, just for getting your, oh, suddenly you're going to use guns as a way to get, and free stuff like that as a way to get people to decide to get vaccinated. You know, if somebody's going to get vaccinated or not, that's their business, okay? By the way, you would be better off giving somebody 100 free rounds of something because, you know what? It's just as hard to get target loads for shooting clays as it is to get 9mm or 223. But if you really wanted to entice the gun people to come and get their vaccines, you'd go, we're giving away 100 rounds of 9mm. Bam! You'd have thousands of people lining up for their vaccines, okay? Maybe. Maybe not. So, at any rate, let's see. Speaking of guns, okay? We'll actually talk about guns on Trigger Talk, if you can believe it. I was reading an article, just came out today, on the truth about guns, and it's about one of my favorite guns. It's a Remington Fieldmaster. And it's actually talking about a 572, which is the latest version of it. I have the original one that I learned to shoot on back in the 60s. It was my grandpa's, and it was a Model 121. And I've told that story several times, but I got it back from my cousins were kind enough to share it with me when I inquired about the ownership of it when my uncle passed. And I love that gun. And I took it. I took my grandson to the range. Oh, gosh, this was a couple months ago. And he loves it because it is such a nice feel and it has a short throw. You know, it's got, you're not having to move that bolt very far to eject and so it, and it has a nice sound. Okay. When you do a pump on a 22 like that, it makes this snick sound. It goes snick, 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 snick. Oh, it is so wonderful. So I want to suggest to people, if you're out there looking, and by the way, they are, because they hold like And believe it or not, it'll shoot shorts, longs, and long rifles. It'll hold 15 rounds. Oh, that sounds like an assault rifle. No, it's not an assault rifle. It'll hold 15 rounds of long rifle, 17 of long, and 20 of shorts, okay? If you could find shorts. And they're not any cheaper than long rifles anymore. But it is such a fun gun, and it is a repeater. You're not having to, you know, take your hand off the trigger and turn a bolt and pull it back and go forward. It's all in that pump motion. It is a wonderful gun. So I'm just suggesting it to people. Look it up, either a Remington 572 Fieldmaster, or if you want an older one, there was a 121 and a Model 21 before that, even that are just wonderful guns. Okay. And they load, I want to say, does the new one load through the, no, the new one, these load through the tube, through a tube. I've also got a 141, which is a semi-automatic that loads through the buttstock that is ultra cool too. And then one last thing to talk about. I was reading an article in American Rifleman, and it just came out this week, May 5th, and it's called I Have This Old Gun, and it's talking about a Russian SKS. And I want to say that when I first got that gun, I thought, oh, well, that's pretty neat. It shoots the same round as an AK, 7.62 by 39. It's got an internal magazine that you load with a charger. It just holds 10 rounds. And I thought, yeah, it's kind of ugly, okay? But it has grown on me. I love that gun. It is heavy, okay? So it absorbs recoil. It is accurate. What? An accurate AK-style gun? Oh, it's very accurate. Now, I want to say the sights are a little far forward, so the sight radius is a little bit short, but There are actually ones that make companies that make sights for them that mount back farther on the receiver, and they also. But the thing is that you really don't want to bolt anything to that receiver cover because it's not, it's locked down with a lever, but it's not like screwed down, so it can wander a little bit. But it's certainly accurate to minute a bad guy. Okay. And I want to say, besides, it's got, you know, it has a full wood stock. Mine is a Yugoslavian, and it is a 66-54. It is the one that has which every good gun should have. It has a bayonet on it that folds underneath, but it also has a grenade launcher. I mean, I wouldn't want to have one without a grenade launcher on it. But, well, not that you can get the grenades, but and the powder charges to be able to fire it, but it's still cool. And it looks cool, and it is fun to shoot. It really is fun to shoot. So I'm just trying to suggest that if by the way, they are built like a tank. They're heavy. They have an okay trigger pull. It's not great, but an okay trigger pull. It's just a fun gun, and it is still reasonable to shoot because even though prices have gone up on ammo, not as much for the 7.62 by 39, and you're actually starting to see, until Joe limits the import of it, you're starting to see more of the Russian ammo showing up because they've got their factories going full tilt over there trying to support us. So the steel case stuff like Tula and Wolf and Barnall ammunition. So a lot of fun. I suggest you keep it stock. Don't go put AK mags on it and stuff. That can affect the reliability of it. It is just a total good gun. This is Dick Pepke at Trigger Talk Radio here at Wham Talk 1600. I'll see you next week.